Welcome back to Holy Sisterhood, the podcast. I am Brooklyn, and I am so glad you're joining us today. Also joining us is my friend Joy. Thanks for coming on, Joy.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I have reasons that I wanted you on this episode, but first, I know I didn't tell you, but first things first, will you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Joy. I am a mom of three teenagers.
Fun stuff.
My husband and I will be celebrating our 21st anniversary in September. We have lived in Gillette for all of our marriage. I've lived here for all of my life.
I did not know that.
Yeah, other than college. I went to college in South Dakota, and I'm a first grade teacher. And yeah.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
One thing that I thought you used to, or you've taught, I guess, at a bunch of events that we've had mm-hmm. here at the church, and I've been to other ones that you've spoke at. I feel like you're so good at speaking to women.
Oh, and thank you.
And we've like been in a group setting together. And I would call you a feeler, but mm-hmm. I also am on the other end of that where I was like a non-feeler. So I always admired the way that you could allow yourself, and I don't know if you felt like this, but allow yourself to like have emotion, especially mm-hmm. during prayer mm-hmm. or yeah, like teaching, things like that. I feel like you let yourself, well, cry even.
Yeah.
And that is vulnerable for me. Like yeah. that's hard. That was really hard for me to do. So
yeah.
I always admired that.
Well, thanks.
We're talking about feelings. So I was like, you know about feelings, Joy.
Joy is an emotional train wreck. No,
I didn't.
No.
Do you think that you're a feeler? Like, would you call yourself that?
I would now. Yeah. Like, it's interesting that that is how people perceive me.
And have you been told that by others?
Yes. Okay. And when I stop to reflect on it, it makes sense to me. But I wouldn't ever have called myself that, like, until probably in the last maybe 5 years. So I think that it's confusing for me sometimes because I don't necessarily always feel that I'm in touch with my own emotions.
Yeah.
They almost surprise me sometimes, if that makes sense. But I'm very perceptive of other people's emotions. And I think okay. that a lot of times, maybe that's what comes out when I'm teaching or when I'm praying, because, you know, God is not devoid of emotion.
Right.
So I think that for whatever reason, I can kind of be perceptive to the feelings of like the Holy Spirit in me.
Yeah.
You know what
that's
I mean?
That's what I was going to ask you. Do
it
you
sounds
think
weird,
it's the Holy Spirit?
I do. I really do. Yeah. And I think as I've become more in touch with just listening to the Spirit and walking by the Spirit, and you know, when I pray, trying to be like, I want to pray what the Holy Spirit wants me to pray. Mm-hmm. And then it seems like a lot of times that emotion will sort of just sneak up on me out of nowhere, because I don't know. It's weird. Like, I'll watch a movie where every woman around me would be bawling, and I'll just be like, okay, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm not like a big laugher at funny yeah. things. So it's just interesting. But
it's cool though. It's yeah. almost like a gift though from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And you would say it's more like compassion to others, or like,
yeah.
Cause
yeah, definitely. You've seen this, and when I've had this experience where it's just like, I feel like I can really put myself in someone else's shoes.
Yeah.
And kind of feel their feelings in a way. And I don't know that. I mean, that has to be God.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Helping.
I'm just listening because yeah. I admire and inspires me. I want mm-hmm. to feel like that. But yeah. I'm just thinking about how Jesus feels that compassion for us. Mm-hmm. And so when you're praying and you're like, I want to pray what you want me to pray, and you feel those feelings, it's like, this is how my heart is. This is how Jesus's heart is toward this situation.
Yeah.
And I love that. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So before, back up.
Mm-hmm.
Did it take practice to like learn how to do that? Or did it just happen one day?
Oh, that's a good question.
You know, and also I'm straying off of what I said, like, I was going to
ask. This wasn't on the notes. Man, you know, I worked at my church for like 4 years ish. Mm-hmm. And when I was working there, most of the things that I had to do were so far outside of my realm of where I was like, I got this. I can do this in my own strength.
Mm-hmm.
So I just really learned how much I need to lean on God, right? To be kind of on that cutting edge where I'm outside of my comfort zone. And I'm like, yes, Lord, I want to obey you. I want to follow you. I want to do what you asked me to do. But good golly, I cannot do this by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so praying and just asking God for help. And I had so many experiences during that phase of time where I'd be like, say, for example, I was working on a teaching for a Sunday morning. I would be usually late at night, mm-hmm. toiling over this because nothing ever came easy to me.
Yeah.
And I would just be begging God, like, I don't want to do this in my own strength. I can't. Like, I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have anything that I need. This is all you. And there were so many times where God would just meet with me in that place. And I would have a lot of emotion as I studied the word and just really dug in. And it was like he would just show me his heart, you know, in the passages that I was studying. And I think I just fell in love with the emotions that God feels,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think that was really kind of where a lot of that started.
Yeah.
For me was just not necessarily that I'm like, I always have to have an emotional experience with
right.
God, or I have to feel emotions, but it's just like, I don't only just want to connect to him just intellectually.
Right.
Right. Like, mm-hmm. God, I want to feel your heart. And I want people who come into contact with me to feel your heart through me and know that you're not like a cold, distant, disconnected, unfeeling God. Like, I want people to know that you feel.
Yeah. That's so good. And I think I actually know that people do feel his heart when they come into contact with you. And I think that's why I was really inspired, because I am somebody that is very logical.
Mm-hmm.
And so moving from head knowledge to heart knowledge is really challenging for me.
Yeah.
And also very scary for me. Yeah. Like, I don't know if it ever felt scary to you, but for some reason, not so much anymore, but like a few years ago, if I were to pray in front of people, first of all, praying in front of people can be scary,
mm-hmm.
but then you're going to cry too and be vulnerable, you know, all of that is intimidating.
Yeah.
And so I love that you feel the heart of God and share the heart of God.
Yeah.
Do you, when you were younger, did you always welcome emotion, or did you push it away? Like your own emotion?
You know, I definitely pushed it away, and I kind of grew up in there was a rough phase in my childhood where there was a lot of dysfunction in my home. And I just kind of learned pretty early on to watch other people and to learn how they were doing emotionally. I was just really like always quietly observing my parents and my siblings and my teachers and everybody, and just kind of trying to figure out how they were feeling so that I could hone my actions or reactions so that I wouldn't rock any boats.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that involved me feeling like I needed to kind of suppress my emotions and
for the sake of others.
Yeah. And it's not like anybody ever told me that. It's just something, you know, kids are really interesting at doing things like this, where they will just watch the world and decide, this is how I need to interact with the world. Mm-hmm. And I think I just kind of somehow internalized that there was too much going on emotionally in my home. I needed to just make myself small.
Yeah.
And so I could have my emotions on the inside, but I couldn't let them out because I didn't want it to be a burden in my family, you know, to be one more thing in the mix.
Yeah.
Especially for my mom. So yeah, it's interesting to see how God has redeemed that in a sense. Although I don't think that I'm still very emotionally, I don't often display emotions just in my normal day-to-day life. And especially as a teacher, you know, you're constantly like a student does something that you're like,
you can't yell.
That bothers me, you know? Yeah. So you really have to learn how to keep yourself in check and kind of have this really good poker face. But
So I also reacted similarly and study people around me. I'm wondering if that's why you're so, or like if that helped you be in tune with others' emotions though. So it's an attachment style. It's called vacillating. You might know about that. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So
I do.
You're always checking everybody's temperature to see how they're feeling.
Yeah.
But then as you got older, God kind of just redeemed that part and you were healthier.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's a work in progress.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's be
real.
Which
it will be forever, right?
It will be.
Till we are in heaven.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's something I have to really just be mindful of is like, I'm so much farther than I was in my journey. But do I have it all figured out emotionally? Not even.
Yeah.
And that assessment where you learn your attachment style, I was one of the people where you get the email where they're like, this is so sad, but I was almost tied in pleaser and avoider. Mm-hmm. And then I also was high in vacillating, a little bit lower. And they send you an email if you're high in several areas, like, we're really sorry. You must have had a very traumatic childhood, basically based on your profile, but you're super.
Like, please seek help.
You're high in several things. Yes. I mean, it was several years ago, but I just was like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I was high in vacillator and pleaser, but I didn't get that email.
You didn't get the email. I think you have to be high in three.
Yeah. Shoot. I missed the mark.
Yeah. Yes.
I found this quote by Jenny Allen in the book Untangle Your Emotions. And it is kind of goes along with that and like how we learn, all of us throughout our childhood, teenage years, and even into adulthood, how to like handle or cope with emotion. Mm-hmm. So it says, we learned that strong emotions are uncomfortable and we shouldn't inflict them on others. We should smooth down their rough edges or better yet, make them disappear. These and other equally confusing messages were conveyed to us and we believed them. We swallowed them whole. And so began our lifelong practice of denying ourselves permission to feel what we felt. Denying ourselves the truth of our humanity as beings created in the image of God, the God who feels all these feelings and created us to feel them as well. Mm-hmm. So that last line, like the God who feels all of these feelings and created us to feel them as well.
Yeah.
Do you believe that? Like, do you? So, I mean, obviously from what you've said, yes. Mm-hmm. But that God has emotions.
Yeah.
And I feel like, though, that's not really super widely talked about within the church. Not that, like, not to be negative or anything, but I feel like it was misconstrued, or I myself misconstrued it to think that emotions were bad and like that God didn't want me to have them. Mm. I don't know if you ever felt that way, but I struggled. And again, it's probably my own personal perception, but I was like, God doesn't want me to feel because they these things distract me. And absolutely, they can be sinful, but emotions themselves are not sin.
Correct.
So I guess my question is, have you ever felt like within like the big church that there's been some confusion on emotion? Does that make sense? Sorry.
Yeah.
Took a long road.
No,
there.
I do think that. And I was thinking about that a lot, you know, as I read through these questions. I just think that where the confusion has come in for a lot of people is we haven't clearly delineated the difference between feeling your feelings and being mindful of your feelings or emotions versus doing them.
Yeah.
It's just, it's been too enmeshed together where we haven't done a good job telling people, like, it's not a sin to be sad or disappointed or brokenhearted or whatever, even though it says in the Bible, like, be angry and do not sin, for example. Right. Like, that, where, what else could more clearly state, like, feel your feeling, just don't do your feeling.
So good.
But I think what gets confusing is church has become such a thing, and I hope this doesn't sound critical, but I think because we all just gather together in this big setting, and if you don't ever get plugged into like a small community outside of the Sunday gathering, it doesn't feel like a place necessarily where your emotions or your feelings, if they are strong, if they are big, like they're necessarily welcome.
Right.
Right. Because we've got like our program that we need to stick to, and it feels very, I don't know. So when I was a kid, I'll never forget this. I was like a teenager, maybe 14 or 15. There was a lady who was up. There was like an altar call, and she was kneeling up at the front of the church, just weeping. And I remember just watching that, thinking like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with her? You know, why is she so upset? / this is so awkward, you know, like, why is she doing that? Like, it was making me so uncomfortable. And then the next Sunday, she was back again, weeping at the front of the church after church. And I just was like, oh my goodness, this woman needs to get it together.
And of course, what is so wrong?
Now that I'm an adult and I've raised 3 kids, you know, and I've been married for a long time, I'm like, oh, I know exactly why that lady was crying.
Yeah.
Like, life is hard. But I just feel like sometimes it feels like we package ourselves into our neat, tidy little, I'm fine. I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. And we feel like, if someone comes up to me and does the church greeting and says, how are you? If I say how I really am, that's going to be uncomfortable for them.
Right.
They're not going to know how to handle it. So I don't want to be vulnerable and real. And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that. I mean, I think definitely like the smaller groups, the communities where you meet and you kind of can become more like a family in a sense and do life together, and you have a smaller opportunity for those things. But
I agree with you. I definitely think there's value in getting plugged in outside of a Sunday gathering, because I mean, even if there's like 50 people within your church, that's a lot to hear how everyone is truly doing, right?
Yeah.
So it is important. But also this last Sunday, somebody came up to me and started weeping that I didn't know this person. And it didn't make me uncomfortable, but it would have like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But I just hugged her, and I was so thankful that she like felt like she could do that at our church, because Jesus does want us to bring it to him, and he does want us to help care for each other.
Yes.
And I also think it's probably partly just Western culture.
Oh, yeah.
Because you think about crying anywhere, and it would be uncomfortable, right? Like in front of people.
Yeah.
You need to go into your house, into your room, and shut your door.
Hide. Yes.
Hide your feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that the other side of that too is like, I don't know. This could just be me.
Okay.
So take it with that. But I always felt like with negative emotions, like I would have this voice inside my head. So say like somebody says something that really offends me and my first reaction is I'm mad. My very next thought would be something like, you should know better. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be mad.
Yes.
Shooting on myself about my negative emotions. Like,
yeah.
If you are going to be like Jesus, you should just immediately suppress all those negative, mad, bad, sad, whatever they are. And that's so bad. Like,
yeah.
That's not accurate at all. And I don't know where that came from for me, but it's been so helpful for me to just learn, like, it's normal, you know, if something bad happens to you, to feel sad and disappointed and to lament that, like, it's okay to feel that way. It's what are you going to do with those feelings?
Right. You don't have to act on them.
Yeah.
So what's cool about reading Untangle Your Emotions by Jenny Allen is she did write a book a few years ago, Get Out of Your Head, I think is what it was, which that one was completely logical and like,
yeah,
control your thoughts. And she probably would have even said like, yeah, you're in control of your thoughts and push it away. But so then she comes back and writes this book and she says, it's not one or the other. Mm-hmm. It's both together. Like, yes, we do have control of our thoughts. We should think what is true and worthy. But also, we can feel, and that's okay. And they can both happen together.
Yeah.
It's, she said, God is waiting for us to come to him with all of it. Even the ugly feelings you and I are tempted to judge, God is waiting to see if we'll let them draw us back to him. So, even the ugly feelings that you and I are tempted to judge, that's completely what you do after you have those thoughts. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of women do that. Even like, definitely, I'm sure throughout teaching, because parenting or being married or even being in friendships, I mean, we're all messy people. So of course, we're gonna feel anger at each other or disappointment or sadness.
Yeah.
But it's not healthy to suppress it and be like, oh, don't feel that. Don't feel that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because suppressed emotions, I put it in here.
I know.
Somewhere.
I was going to tell you that you had a really great quote about that.
Yeah. So I haven't actually finished this book, but I've been reading it this summer. It's called The Body Revelation. It's by Elisa Keaton.
I've heard good things about it.
It's amazing. It's really good. But she basically talks about how when you suppress your emotions, it's really, really bad for you. I'm trying to find
physically too.
Yes. Well, this was a quote. She quoted this in her book. This was a quote from a Psychology Today article, but it said, you will never resolve underlying issues if you deny and run from your feelings. Suppressed emotions don't just go away. Instead, they become toxic. Mm-hmm. And I think I've experienced that in my own life, where I've just had certain things like come up where I'm like, I wonder if this is because of all of the things that I've just suppressed.
For sure.
For so many years.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not healthy. So my new inner dialogue with myself all the time is like, it's okay. You know, just feel your feelings, notice them, don't judge them.
Yeah, and which then, is so hard.
Yes.
It takes time to learn to not judge yourself.
For real. But then, like, run it to the feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, like, why do we think that we need to judge ourselves for feeling feelings?
Yeah.
When he has paid the price.
Right.
For all of it. And he doesn't judge us, you know?
Yeah. No, so. I agree with you. And I mean, when he clearly felt feelings, anger is the hardest feeling for me to feel.
Yeah.
I'm actually very bad at even noticing anger. I'm getting better at it.
Yeah.
My husband even, I think I've said like, I'm mad at you maybe like twice in our marriage.
Wow.
Because I don't.
Lucky guy.
No, it's like not. He would disagree because I'll be like, I am so frustrated or I'll just be passive aggressive. I'm getting better. The two times I've probably been in this like last year, I'm like, that made me feel angry. Yeah. And that's so hard for me to say, but he actually receives it so well. He's like, thank you, like, for telling me that instead of just acting mad and not saying anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But God felt anger too. And Jesus, like, it shows it in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So were you ever taught, I think you might have already said this, but you were never taught, like, by someone to feel emotions in a healthy way within the will of God? Like, you don't you can't remember a time that you were, like, taught it?
I don't think so. Yeah. But I was praying, like, I want to tell the truth. So I'm like, God, if there is anybody who taught me that and I don't remember, please remind me, because I don't want to be like, no, nobody ever taught me that. But I'm like, I can't really pinpoint anything in particular or anyone in particular.
But even I explained in the podcast that I recorded for last week, I felt like, and you kind of said this, but I felt like God kind of taught me how to feel a little bit.
Yeah.
Because there was this time, I call it my counseling session with God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was actually months. But he just would repeatedly bring back things that I had suppressed. And I would, and at first was like, no, I don't want to. But then over time, I allowed myself to sit in them. Mm-hmm. And then I was able to, like, share how I felt with him.
Yeah.
And allow his comfort in.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's, like, the same for you through your prayers while you were studying the word, things like that. But it's almost like he taught me how to submit it to his will.
Yeah.
Which is special.
Yeah. I agree. And I mean, you know, the Holy Spirit is a teacher.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And he's a comforter. He's a teacher. And I think when you're yielded to, when you're like, God, I want to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. I want to do your will.
Yeah.
I think part of that process is the Holy Spirit teaching you those things. And I've just seen in my own life how I'll recognize a need in my life. Like, for example, I need to become more emotionally healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And if I start praying and looking for resources and knowledge and things towards that end, it's like he is so faithful, you know, to bring those things. And I do think a lot of it is the Holy Spirit. I think I put on here too, when I was thinking about all these last night, one thing with me was when I became a mom, right? Your kids are first just these teeny tiny little sweet little squishies, and they just never can do anything wrong, and you love them so much. And then they get to be around two and they start to know becomes their favorite word, right? And then they get a little older and you start to really see, like, oh, sinful nature is real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will never doubt that this is true.
Yeah.
Because nobody teaches your kids to sin, to disobey. Like, they just start doing it. And I remember being so surprised by how quickly my kids could make me feel very angry and just, like, upset, like, really bad. And I hated that. Like, it scared me. Like, I didn't want to feel like that. And so that was kind of one thing for me that I was like,
something is off.
Lord.
Yeah.
Why? What is this? Like, I don't feel like I should be getting this angry, you know, because my child squeezed the entire tube of toothpaste out on the floor or whatever. Like, it's frustrating. Yes. But it's not something that should just really just wreck me.
Yeah.
And so just kind of pursuing that, I think, kind of led me on a journey of starting to think, okay, like, maybe I need to become more emotionally healthy. And but also as your kids get older and you really realize, like, whoa, these people are really watching me and they really are going to want to do life the way I do life until they become teenagers, and then they want to be nothing like you. But I need to grow in this. I need to mature in this so that I can be a good role model for my children to watch. And again, do I have this completely right? No. I still my kids, if you ever get to sit down with my teenagers, one of their favorite hobbies is roasting me. So they've got a handful of stories of times when I just completely lost my mommy marbles, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah. they just love to tell people those stories because they get good laughs mm-hmm. and and they turn me bright red because I'm so ashamed.
Teenagers are unfair.
Yeah, they are. They are unfair, but they also keep us so humble
right.
because if I ever were to try to sit down here and be like, oh, I've got it all figured out, you know,
it would like I would come on here and like comment. No, she doesn't.
Yes. Or I'd be like, some of these people know my teenagers and all they have to do is be like, is that really true? I'd be like, no.
Okay. Two thoughts. Yeah. One is I completely resonate with mm-hmm. parenting. It's definitely God uses it to sanctify you because yes. it does bring up so much. Mm-hmm. And you do want to be better for these little
yeah.
humans and steward them well.
Yeah.
So I agree. And I feel like that is where I noticed too.
Yeah.
Where, because when you yell at them and you're like, wow, that was really not worth it.
Right.
Yeah. That anger is obviously from something else.
Yes.
I need to go backwards. But then, so how did you what steps did you take after that to become emotionally healthy? Like, so for me, I went to counseling. Mm-hmm. I read books on it, obviously, and study it, but
yeah.
and pray and look yeah. to the word. So what kind of things did you do or yeah. do you do?
I definitely am a big fan of reading books, mm-hmm. listening to lots of podcasts. And then I think the biggest thing though is just allowing myself to be vulnerable
mm-hmm.
with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And like that has been the biggest and hardest step for me because especially when you've been, I mean, I've known Jesus since I was 5.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in church. So my inner dialogue is like, you should have this all figured out by now. And it's embarrassing for you to have to tell somebody like, I exploded on my teenagers the other day and was chasing them around the house, trying to catch them to tackle them down and give them a spanking or whatever. I don't mm-hmm. know. So just having people that I know love Jesus too, and they want me to be more like Jesus, and being able to be vulnerable with them and say, hey, I struggle with this. Mm-hmm. What, you know, like I want to become more emotionally healthy. What do you see in me? Because people can see your blind spots often. And if there are people that you trust who no, you know that they don't want to hurt you. They want to help you grow in your Christ-likeness. I think you can feel safe to ask that question and trust their answers, you know. Yeah. And it's been hard for me to build a community like that around me, but I think it's essential. Like, I think we need to be able to be vulnerable with people. And, you know, you were in a text group that I texted this weekend. I was struggling with some emotions around an event that recently happened in my life. And I've been laughing about coming on this podcast about emotions because I'm like, I've been an emotional train wreck for 5 days now. But I knew I was like, because after I had wrestled with this and I'm praying and, you know, I'm asking God and I'm remembering all the scriptures that I know, I still just feel like I'm just hitting a wall. And it's like, you need to reach out to your people and be like, I'm struggling with this. Yes. Bring it into the light, like, and let people pray for you and encourage you. And that helps, you know, it really does.
Yeah.
So I think vulnerability is huge, but also just being obedient to the Holy Spirit. I think that, you know, if he tells you something that you need to do or stop doing and you ignore him, then at least this is the way it happens for me. I kind of will stop hearing from him.
Yeah.
And it's like, be obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, he can teach you, he can help you, but you have to actually like do.
Mm-hmm.
Do the things, do what you read in the Word and take some positive steps. So, but one book in particular that really was kind of a eye opener for me and helped me was, it's called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's by Pete Scazzaro. And I listened to it a few summers ago after probably several years of my pastor telling me I should listen to it. And I was like, I don't want to, or you should read it. But I finally listened to it, and he's really a fun listen because he's from New York. So he has like a New York accent. I'm all about an accent. So it's such a good book. It was an eye opener for me. It really helped me realize, like, he basically says, like, you cannot be spiritually mature if you refuse to become emotionally mature. And I'm butchering that, but it's like the subtitle of the book. I don't have it exactly right, but it's so true.
Like you need both.
Yeah.
Because God, I feel like, speaks to us so much through emotion. Mm-hmm. And if you're emotionally unhealthy and you can't bring your emotions to Him, which that is vulnerability too. Like,
yes,
bringing emotions to God and to others. Mm-hmm. It's hard. That was one of my hardest steps too.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize that I needed to be vulnerable, or share things. I had this idea that really you were supposed to keep it all to yourself.
Yeah.
But it's so helpful to me when pastors themselves are like, no, we struggle too. Because there's this weird idea, and I don't know who gave it to us, but that like people are perfect and nobody is.
Yeah.
Everybody struggles.
Yes.
So I love that. And I love that you are working on community.
Yeah.
And then community can direct you back to Jesus.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
So I wrote in my notes, God's will of our emotions is to bring us back to Him.
Yes.
Is that true? Do you agree with that?
I do. it's funny because I'm like, I wonder if Jenny Allen read this Elisa Keaton's say that book too, or vice versa. So Elisa Keaton has a quote in her book, God gave you feelings to help you know where you are at all times in relationship to His presence and peace.
Yes. Chip Dodd talks about that too. So this is just maybe a widely known thing among people that discuss emotions. But in The Voice of the Heart, he says that too. It's like, how far are you from God? And basically every emotion is a signal of something that we need to bring to God or point back to God.
Yeah.
So like here it says, joy incites gratitude and worship. Anger can be a tool against injustices. Regret is our reminder of our need for God's forgiveness. Sadness makes us draw near to God for comfort. Fear can provide protection to help us discern right paths. Mm-hmm. It says, even hate and jealousy, which we see in God's own display of emotions, can be good. So both of those people, Chip Dodd and Jenny Allen, both argue that there are no bad emotions.
Yeah.
Which I, in my humanness, disagree with because I don't like. I don't like anger or sadness or despair.
Yeah.
But I can see their point.
Yeah.
Like, it does bring you back to God.
If you'll let it.
And yes. I
agree. Like if you never felt sad, you wouldn't know the sweetness of the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You know, some of the times in my life when I've been the most brokenhearted, like after a miscarriage, you know, I had two miscarriages, and talk about two of the worst experiences of your entire life. But also the comfort of the Holy Spirit in those seasons, and also Him bringing people around me to comfort me too, is just one of the sweetest things. So it's not that you're like, I wish I would have terrible things happen to me.
Right.
So
I never choose it yourself. Yeah.
But I do think that it is to bring you to God, and there's different facets of who God is to you that you can learn in all of those moments, you know, even when you're struggling with jealousy or anger or whatever it is, you know, it's like, bring this to the feet of Jesus and learn that his grace is sufficient for that too. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily mean that he's always going to just boop, lift those emotions off of you, but just his presence in that moment and his sweetness to walk you through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because like, he doesn't abandon you. He doesn't leave you to feel it alone.
Yeah, he's not like, oh, well, you're angry again. I just can't with you right now. It's like, good, I'm glad you came to talk to me about it. Which, if you think about it, I think a lot of us learned as kids, you know, just because we don't have perfect parents, because nobody's perfect. So you come with your emotions and it's like, I don't know how to handle this. I don't have time for it right now. Whatever. And we project that onto God, but that's not how God does it.
Right.
You know, it's, I wrote down another quote. It says, God is waiting for us to come to him with all of it. Even the ugly feelings you and I are tempted to judge, God is waiting to see if we'll let them draw us back to him. Oh, that you wrote that.
That's okay.
That's Where's good. The one? I'm like, I didn't write that. That's Jenny Allen. I haven't read that book.
Though, still.
it was a very similar quote about, where is it? I put too many quotes in here.
Okay.
Oh.
Did you find it? If not, I have a thought while you look
Okay,
for it.
Say it. Say it. And I'm going to study these 8,000 notes that I made.
I love it. I loved reading through them. but no, I totally agree with you. And, a lot of us do project how our parents parented, which they learned from their parents and generations of this. And there's definitely been generations that are much more hardcore or like don't feel. Mm-hmm. And then we get the brunt of that. But God is a compassionate God who does feel and who does care about our feelings. He's like the father that he's just the most perfect father, the one that you can crawl into his lap no matter how you're feeling. And he has grace and love for you.
Yeah. Yeah. This what I finally
did. You find
it.
Your quote?
Feeling your feelings and going to God is one way you take heart whenever you face trouble. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. John 16:33. And I was thinking about that. Like, I feel angry when I think about injustice in the world, you know, human trafficking, persecution, whatever it is. That stirs something in me, anger, sadness, lots of things.
Yeah. If you didn't feel that, would you? Because Joy does like crazy hikes.
Yeah.
In to help with these causes.
Yes.
If you didn't feel that anger towards those injustices.
Yes.
You really would not have a reason to do that.
Yeah. And if I didn't allow myself to feel the feelings about it and then take them to God and say, okay, this is overwhelming to me. Like, the world is so troubling. Mm-hmm. Like, in this world, you will have tribulation. Yeah, I get it. Like, I've experienced that and I see other people experiencing and I don't like it. So take heart, like feel your feelings about it. And come to God and remember that he has overcome. And then, God, what can I do? Is there anything I can do with these feelings? Mm-hmm. And instead of, because I think otherwise we get overwhelmed and it's like, well, I can't fix it all. So I won't do anything.
Shut down.
And,
yeah.
And that's not his will either.
Right.
That's what keeps things from getting better. Mm-hmm. We all just are like, oh, I'm just going to pretend that's not happening. And I'm not going to feel my feelings about it.
Yeah.
That's not healthy.
No. And then he also gives each of us gifts and callings to help these things and bring glory to his name. So we have to feel.
Yeah.
So that we can bring it to him and he can lead us.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, I do you have any more thoughts that you want to share?
All I was thinking about was that we just talked a lot about negative, like,
let's talk about the
there's
happy
no
feelings.
Bad feelings, right? I do agree with that. There's no such thing as a bad feeling, but, I was thinking last night when I was thinking about this, you know, I often want God to take away all my bad circumstances, all the things in my life that are upsetting me, stressing me, blah, blah, blah. So I can have joy. So I can have peace. Mm-hmm. And that obviously we all know if we've been alive for 5 minutes, just isn't how he works. He wants us to meet with him in that distress and find joy and peace in him, mm-hmm. no matter what the circumstances, no like matter what.
Having both and.
Yes. Yes. And that, I think that that's probably one of the biggest growth edges for me right now in my life, just because I'm like, okay, parenting teenagers is hard. I'm 45 years old. This is a weird age to be going through. You feel like your whole identity is shifting from your younger years to like, oh my word, I'm on the downhill slide, you know, just so many things. And it's like, and even things that just aren't about me, like all the crazy mm-hmm. things going in the world. And it's like, wow, God, like I can't have joy apart from you in all of this. Yeah. I can't have peace. Like I have to stay closely connected to you. And I do think that that's, you know, my barometer. If I'm feeling really anxious, sad, angry, all those things, that is my barometer for like, well, how far have you drifted? Mm-hmm. Like, are you spending time with Jesus? Are you in the Word? Are you spending time in community, being vulnerable, letting other people speak into your life? That's kind of your way of knowing like, okay, I need to get back into his presence, you know, mm-hmm. where I can get that joy and that peace that surpasses understanding.
Yeah.
So.
And it doesn't mean you don't also feel bad, yeah. but, or yeah. like the, I still refer to them as negative emotions, but like, yeah, it doesn't mean that you don't feel sad.
True.
And joy.
Yeah.
At the same time. And I experienced that actually after miscarriages too. Mm-hmm. And it's just, yeah, it's strange and it can only come from him.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
I appreciate what you had to say. And
thanks. I appreciate your questions and how you look. I'm like, you talk too much, Joy Fox.
No, you don't. That's why I wanted to hear from you. That's why you're here. Aww. And you share such great wisdom. So thank you.
God gets the glory.
Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.